When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
I know you're paying attention to global events as well as what's going on in our nation. War and increased conflict is bubbling up in more places. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals. Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD, 833-995-G-O-L-D.
If you're a firearms enthusiast like I am, or you have one in your life, let me tell you about the industry's best-kept secret, Bear Creek Arsenal. This is a veteran-owned and operated gun manufacturer, Bear Creek Arsenal, that is, based in Sanford, North Carolina. They make high-quality firearms at an incredible value. Learn more about Bear Creek Arsenal at bearcreekarsenal.com/buck. Use promo code BUCK to get 10% off your first order. One more time, bearcreekarsenal.com/buck and promo code BUCK to get 10% off your first order.
Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome in, everybody. Wednesday edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show starts right now, and we have much to discuss, as is often the case here. A lot of news breaking, a lot of things happening. We've got the Trump trial in NYC. Jury selection fully underway. A number of jurors making it through the early stages of the gauntlet, that is jury selection. We will discuss how, a little bit the same way that the Supreme Court, we're told, is a nonpartisan institution. Jury selection, a lot of people clearly have animus against Trump, for example, and it seems some of them are, in this jury process, trying to suggest that, oh, but I could still be impartial. Yeah, we'll discuss this in detail. Trump also going up to the, a bodega, which is like a small neighborhood grocery store. New Yorkers all know, but for other folks across the country, bodega is not as common a thing. Isn't that the one also where I think Dr. Jill Biden, and just so you're clear, we call her that sarcastically. Some of you write in and say, she's not really a doctor. We know. That's the point. We like to be, you know, like Dr. Jill Biden's getting called in by her pager on an episode of Grey's Anatomy to save lives. She wrote a PhD dissertation that was absolute garbage for, I think, University of Delaware or something on education. So, yeah. Anyway. But yes, Dr. Jill Biden, I think she was the one who said, bodega or something. She didn't know what a bodega was. It's pretty funny. But this is about the bodega guy who defended himself with a knife on video against an assailant who was much bigger, who cornered him and for no reason, started just punching him, and he defended himself with a knife and the guy died, and he was charged with murder, if you remember. Alvin Bragg, we were outraged here on this show and said it at the time, and the pressure from people of New York and across the country who recognize what an outrage this is pushed Bragg to drop those charges. But Trump is going to visit that store proprietor, go visit the guy working at the bodega. He went, and this is highlighting, I think, a big difference between Democrats and Republicans going into this election cycle. Also, a lot of hubbub, a lot of stuff going on online around the salary that Caitlin Clark has, the president, or at least his staff. Again, we know Joe Biden doesn't write his tweets, but it's on his behalf, right? So the White House apparatus put out a tweet upset about how much money Caitlin Clark, the NCAA female basketball superstar, how much she is going to make. It is, by professional athletic standards, not a lot of money. And there's the Biden White House is saying this is unfair because Joe Biden neither knows nor understands the first thing about running a business, economics, supply and demand, anything like that. So we will definitely want to dive into some of that because it's, well, it just shows that one side here lives in reality and the other side lives in a delusion. And then we've got, this is the big one for me today. You know, Clay and I were going back and forth on this one on air, just talking about, because he started bringing to my attention the tweets around NPR's new chief, the chief commissar of NPR. And the thing about it is when you look at her tweets, it's very apparent that everything that you think is true of the head of NPR is in fact true of the head of NPR. And Uri Berliner, who is the guy who is an NPR editor who said, hey, hold on a second. There are 87 editors in the newsroom and not a single one of them is a Republican. Every one of them is a registered Democrat. That can't be a journalistic enterprise of any seriousness. Clay, he has resigned. I have his real quick. Here's his resignation letter sent to Catherine Marr, who we're going to have some fun with here in a second. I'm resigning from NPR, Great American Institution, where I've worked for 25 years. I don't support calls to defund NPR. Well, too bad. I respect the integrity of my colleagues and wish for NPR to thrive and do important journalism, but I cannot work in a newsroom where I am disparaged by a new CEO whose divisive views confirm the very problems at NPR in my free press essay. Clay, is this a shockwave through the communist media? Well, we will dive into it, in that regard. First, I got to say, look at some of the tweets from... Oh, we have better than tweets. We have Catherine Marr, I suppose no relation to Bill Maher, same spelling of the last name. We have Catherine Marr here, the new NPR CEO. I think she just took over in January of this year, so it's new. The kind of things that you think, without even knowing, an NPR boss would say. She is like made in a lab by communists. It's amazing when you actually hear her view of things. For example, she's one of these individuals who works in journalism, and you really have to put the scare quotes. The scare quotes must be there. She's one of these people who works in journalism, but thinks that the First Amendment is an impediment to the real mission. And you say, well, hold on a second. How can freedom of expression and free speech be a challenge to journalism? The only way is if journalism is actually propaganda, is if you're taking a partisan point of view in order to bring about a certain conclusion in the mind of the audience. Catherine Marr, back in 2021, June of 2021, during the pandemic, she was CEO of Wikimedia. So I think she was running Wikipedia, like that falls under. And let me tell you, Wikipedia, just like Twitter was before Elon bought it, it is a communist enclave. They absolutely control Wikipedia. There's so much bias, all kinds of things going on there that, you know, people should be very cognizant of whenever you do a Wikipedia search. I should also be very cognizant. Ginger has found her way into the studio, and while I am doing a live radio show for millions of people, is dropping her favorite chew toy on my feet and saying, you must throw this. So if you're watching the video, wondering why the chew toy is being thrown, there you go. Catherine Marr, 2021 June. This is what she said when she was running Wikimedia. Play it.
we took a very active approach to disinformation and misinformation coming into the not just the last election, but also looking at how we supported our editing community in an unprecedented moment where we were not only dealing with a global pandemic, we were dealing with a novel virus, which by definition means we knew nothing about it in real time. And we're trying to figure it out as the pandemic went along. And so we really set up in response to both the pandemic, but also in response to the upcoming US election and as a model for future elections outside of the US, including a number that are happening this year. The model was around how do we create sort of a clearinghouse of information that brings the institution of the Wikimedia Foundation with the editing community in order to be able to identify threats early on through conversations with government, of course, as well as other platform operators to understand sort of what the landscape looks like.
That's a lot of jargon to say we were coordinating with the Biden administration to decide what could be said on Wikipedia and through Wikimedia about the pandemic. That is state media. Now, this is also interesting because NPR likes to have it both ways. Oh, we're just like honest journalists, man. Like, we just care about the truth and journalism. And yet they take money from the federal government. I believe state governments also give money to NPR. And when people like me point this out, and conservatives have been saying this for years, we don't get any state money, right? I mean, I said to Clay, I said, look, you know, if the federal government wants to give us $5 or $10 million, I'd say, hey, you know, I mean, we wouldn't take it. I'm just kidding. Well, we'd think about it, but we probably wouldn't take it. Why would you have state funding of this? It's absurd on its face. It makes no sense. And then they say, well, it's only federal government 1% of our budget or something, to which I say, great, then you don't need it. It can't be we don't need the funding, but don't take away our funding. But that's the game that NPR plays. Oh, no, it's not like we're reliant on state funds. But if you take it away from us, you're destroying like access to information for, you know, 100 million Americans or whatever it is they say that listens to it or has access to it. But back to the point here. Why is this a moment that I think is getting so much attention from everybody? One, you have an NPR, the guy worked there for decades. So it's not like what you get on the left. Sometimes on the left, you'll have some, infiltrator, you know, get somebody who's like, oh, like I managed to get a job at Fox News. I worked there for 2 months and it's propaganda. I mean, no, this is a guy, Uri Berliner is a guy who was drinking the Kool-Aid for a long time. I mean, it's not like NPR just went woke. It is the most woke. In fact, it's so woke that when someone tells me in real life that they're an NPR listener, I'm actually somewhat curious to hear what they have to say. So I'm like, I want to know, you know, if they listen to CNN, I know it's just all, I hate Trump. But if they listen to NPR, they're just like, yeah, we just need to get rid of gender entirely. And we just need a global government. And we all need to get rid of capitalism. And you're just like, wait, what? Like they're on this whole other level of delusion and separation from reality. And we have more, by the way, of Catherine Marr. Again, the First Amendment is the foundation upon which really all American rights are built. Right? If you cannot speak, and that's why the whole thing when Clay and I were talking about the trial in New York and there was that, you know, that imbecile Swalwell who's like, oh, you can't say that, Clay. When that was going on, I remember thinking, if you can't talk about a trial and what's just and unjust, we by definition do not live in a free society. And when the people who are supposed to be the most stalwart defenders of the First Amendment, when they are on the other side, it's not even that they refuse to do their job. They have joined the enemies of the First Amendment. They are part of the censorship apparatus. They are going above and beyond to silence people who disagree with them or who just refuse to carry the water of the communist Democrat left in this country. When you reach that point, you see that we're actually at a dangerous moment in time for our most basic freedoms. I'm going to get into more of this Catherine Marr lady in a sec because she's amazing. I'm telling you, she is the perfect NPR CEO. All of her positions, I've got her tweets here. And what you need to know, if you're saying, oh, Buck, I don't even listen to NPR, I don't even care. Her mentality is reflected in the executive suites of every major newspaper and news organization that is not explicitly right of center in America. And every editorial room, every newsroom for a publication that would not be identified by the left as conservative. So, right, whether you would say the Wall Street Journal is conservative or not, guess what? The left thinks it's very conservative. They think it's ultra right wing. They're crazy. This is an exploration of the mindset of the censorious totalitarian left. And that's why I think it's so fascinating. But also, I mentioned the Uri Berliner guy. It's too much for him after 20 years. If you've been working at NPR for 20 years, how crazy must NPR be for you to finally say, for 20 years, I was okay with these commies, but now they've gone too far. You know, in a sense, he shows what I've been saying now for over a decade. The acceleration of the lunacy from the left is very real, and it's happening all the time. This is not the same Democrat Party it was 10 or 20 years ago. It's certainly not the same media that it was. So we'll discuss. And if any of you have any funny NPR anecdotes, I would love to hear them. Or just, you know, if you've listened to NPR recently and you found yourself, you know, if you're in the car and you're looking for Clay and Buck on the AM and all of a sudden you find yourself listening to NPR, it's like an assault on your eardrums. All of a sudden, but I know it can be very melodic sounding. It's like, oh, well, today we're talking about the best way to make a summer salad. You know, I know they sneak that stuff in there. 800-282-2882. You know, we get to the truth on a whole range of topics here every day on this program. And that's the mission that Clay and I have. But that's also the mission that our friend Mark Chaykin has when he covers U.S. stocks. He wants to cut through the noise and the nonsense. He's not looking to follow the herd. He's trying to find ways to show people who believe in his research and his work how to make money in the markets by going against the most obvious front page stuff from the journal, by finding things that others don't see, including their mania and AI stocks, all the hype around all that stuff. Mark knows what's real and what's not. And he's saying right now is a new dawn for U.S. stocks. He predicts dozens of specific companies will be impacted in just the next 90 days. That's why Mark has agreed to share one of his favorite AI stocks to buy now with our listeners. He put everything in a new presentation you can watch for free at 2024AIStock.com. That's 2024AIStock.com, 2024AIStock.com, paid for by Chaykin Analytics.
The number one fantasy sports app in America is Prize Picks. It's the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. 5 million members already active on Prize Picks. If you've not yet downloaded Prize Picks, do it today. Unlike other apps, on Prize Picks, it's just you against the number. It's about the players and not the teams. You look for the sports you know best and that you follow the most. Then you make a single decision on each player projection, more or less. Every time you play, you pick 2 to 6 players and make that one decision. You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 picks. More player action on Prize Picks now than ever, and it's the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states now. Prize Picks also gives you injury insurance, so your picks stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. Download the free Prize Picks app and open your account. Use my name, Clay, for a first deposit match up to $100. Download the Prize Picks app. Use promo code Clay, that's C-L-A-Y, to get set up and get a deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-GOLD.
Look, I'm a two-way guy. Second Amendment, all about it. I appreciate the sport of shooting. I appreciate marksmanship. I appreciate the right to bear arms and to defend oneself. I also respect the craftsmanship of a well-made firearm at a phenomenal price. My first career out of college put me in parts of the world where, you know what, I had to have a firearm to protect myself. Years later, I keep myself trained and in shape with my firearms. Going to the gun range with my brothers on the weekend, that's a regular event for us. It's a great time to come together, and it helps keep our skills sharp. So if you're a firearms enthusiast like me, or you have one in your life, let me tell you about the industry's best-kept secret, Bear Creek Arsenal. They offer a wide range of premium calibers at a fraction of what the competition does. How does Bear Creek Arsenal do it? There's no middleman fees, that's how. I own one of their AR-15s. It is an incredible firearm. They know what they're doing. Discover Bear Creek Arsenal. Go online to bearcreekarsenal.com/buck. That's bearcreekarsenal.com/BUCK. Use my name, Buck, as your promo code for 10% off your first order. You're going to be amazed at the incredible quality of their firearms and the unbeatable price. BearCreekArsenal.com/Buck. Use the name Buck to get that 10% off your first order.
I just tweeted out something that's going to drive everybody crazy, Buck. I said that there's news out there right now that Jonte, we were talking about the WNBA and Caitlin Clark being underpaid. By the way, we're efforting Andy McCarthy. You can imagine that this is kind of a busy time for Andy. Although he can't cite the Mets as an excuse for where he is right now, I don't think. But the Jonte Porter is an NBA player who was just banned for life for betting on the NBA. And I just tweeted, is he banned from the WNBA too? Or could he decide now that he's a WNBA player, the greatest women's college basketball, women's basketball player of all time? And he'd be a hero of the left because there's nothing braver than deciding you aren't the gender that you actually are. And as we're efforting Andy, did you see this tweet that came out about me, Buck? Even me who is used to this is a story. Even me who is used to people saying all sorts of crazy things about me. This story I saw and I just thought to myself, this is really kind of part and parcel for where we are. They're angry at me still over saying that Trump should not be convicted. And this is pretty wild. The idea that you would decide, this is from a website. The headline is anti-gay sports writers rage tweet about, did you see this, Buck? About Trump's hush money trial could cost him his law license. And here's the opening paragraph of the article. That's the headline. Homophobic sports writer Clay Travis couldn't resist the urge to insert himself into Donald Trump's felony hush money trial. Travis, founder of the right-wing rage site OutKick. Have you ever heard me say anything anti-gay? And I just want to, if I have, I want to make it clear that I love lesbians, particularly good-looking lesbians, very fond of their work. And so I want to make it clear that I love all gay people. But that's a headline. Like, I said that Trump shouldn't be convicted, and suddenly I'm a homophobic bigot according to the headlines. I don't even, what's the connection here other than leftists decide how to attack you?
I thought about this because, first of all, I'm just going to tell you, from when I was in New York and also down here in South Beach, we are very popular with the gays. Okay. Just for, you know, they love us. We get along great. I sound like Trump now. Great relationship with the gays.
We love the gays.
We have a lot. We have a lot of stalwart gay. Some of them could call in now and just sort of give us a high five. A lot of stalwart gay and lesbian listeners. Here's what they do, though, or rather, the people attacking you. What they're doing.
Yeah.
they like to use questioning trans as anti-gay. These are not the same thing at all.
Not even remotely close.
Not even remotely the same thing, but they try to create this. That's why the smashing together of all the letters.
Yes.
Right? Occur. LGBTQIA plus, right? If you don't, what they try to do is say, this is a very clear tactic of the left. If you have any issue with any policy relating to any of the alphabet group.
Yes.
You are opposed to the entire alphabet group, which is a complete slander. But you see what I mean? That's the game that's played. So because you question, and I do too, obviously, and not just question, I disagree with the policy around men competing against women in athletics. I think this is crazy. It's crazy.
Yes.
Because we disagree with that so strongly, they go, oh, well, you must be anti-gay as well. And it's like, no, these are completely different things. And that is a dishonest slander meant to attack somebody who, to your point, find anything you or I have ever said that could be classified as anti-gay.
We bring in now Andy McCarthy, who is, I bet, doing more media than he's ever done in his entire life. Andy, we got 7 jurors seated so far. How would you assess the way this trial is going right now? Has anything surprised you? Where are we from your perspective?
The pace of jury selection has really surprised me because you mentioned media. When we were doing it on Monday, I tried to warn people ahead of time that nothing really happens during jury selection. It was, obviously it's historic that it's the first formal day of the trial against the first former president who happens to be the de facto Republican nominee, but nothing much was going to happen and nothing seemed to happen the first day. A few rulings that were interesting, but beyond that, not much. And the estimates, Clay, were that they thought it might take until early May
yeah.
to get a jury because of the glacial pace of Monday. But then the thing picked up like a rocket Tuesday and they could have a setback tomorrow, but to the extent the judge said he may have a jury fully selected by Friday, that's entirely possible.
Andy, thanks for being with us. We're going to have to keep you for another segment. We have too many questions, so just get ready for that. But one thing that we've been wondering about, or I've been wondering about particularly, this whole notion of an impartial jury for Trump in New York City on this case, it seems to me like, I understand, You go to trial with the justice system you have, and it's kind of like you go to war with the army you have. This is what we got, this trial by jury system, and in general, it's very, very good. But to me, it just seems like a farce. I mean, some of the people that are already, it seems, have been in contention are obviously anti-Trump. Like, how do we get? Is that just baked in at this point?
Well, the thing is, the idea is not to get people who all like Trump. Or who all like Bragg, for that matter, because there's a lot of resentment against Bragg in Manhattan, too. A thing to remember about all this is that the movement progressives who vote in elections like the one where Bragg was elected, that's a vanishingly small number of the people in Manhattan. And, they're very motivated, so they kind of punch above their weight. Trump is apt to find a number of really good jurors in Manhattan. I liked trying cases in Manhattan. Now, that was 20 years ago, and we were federal, so we were drawn from the Bronx and Westchester, too. But we had a lot of Manhattan jurors. I thought they were good jurors. The process is supposed to lend itself to a pretty searching examination of these jurors so you can make a discriminating choice about them. There's a lot of latitude to move to remove people by choice. I have for cause rather. I haven't heard too much complaining that they wanted people removed from cause who the judge refused to remove, which is part of why it's going faster. I think they got rid of a lot of cause objections the first day in one big fell swoop. But also remember, in terms of balance. Even if you accept as a premise that Manhattan is cut against Trump, which it clearly is, Trump only needs one, to win here.
Yeah.
Bragg needs 12.
And that's a big difference when you have a case like Bragg, has, which is a kind of a dog's breakfast of a case.
When we come back, I want to ask you this question, Andy. What would happen if Trump were convicted? What's the process that would play out? Thank you for joining us. You good to come back for one more segment?
Yeah, of course.
Uh-huh. Yeah, great. Yeah, let's get into that, Clay, because, you know, are they going to lock him up if they can, is really what we want to dive into. And what would that look like, and how would this all work, what the process is? But first up, want to remind everybody about the incredible work being done by the Preborn Network of Clinics. They saved this past year 58,000 tiny babies' lives. That was only possible because of the generosity of you, the pro-life community in this country. Here's what Preborn does. They welcome pregnant moms who are making a difficult decision. Are they going to give life to their unborn child or choose abortion? And they do this by providing them with a free ultrasound. And when they see that tiny heartbeat on the screen, so often the decision is for life. One woman who visited a Preborn clinic this past year was being pressured by her family to abort her unborn child. But she favored the idea of life, which led to finding the Preborn Network clinic closest to her. Preborn provided her support and supplies, and she was also given that free ultrasound. And when she saw her baby on the sonogram, that godly connection was made. The baby's tiny movements, the little heartbeat, she realized, I'm giving life to my child. Every day, Preborn celebrates 200 miracles in the same way. An ultrasound costs just $28. $28, and it's 100% tax deductible. If you can give more, by the way, $500 or even $5,000, and some of you have. Some of you have given $5,000 as a leadership gift already. But if you can give $28, whatever you can spare, $5, that can be the difference between the life and death of a tiny baby. We have to do a lot. I know there's fights in the legal realm right now, but we have to do what we can culturally as a community of life to support life wherever we can. Please dial #250 from your phone and say the keyword baby. That's #250, say baby, or visit preborn.com/buck. That's preborn.com/BUCK, sponsored by Preborn. All right, Andy, let's dive right in. We're speaking to Andy McCarthy of National Review and Fox News, 20-plus years, Southern District of New York, prosecutor. Andy, if they find Trump guilty, what do you think happens? I mean, give us the timeline and the possible punishments.
Well, allowing that things are moving a little faster than we thought, and we'll see if that continues. Let's say the trial goes into mid to late May, maybe early June. If he were to get convicted, I think it matters a lot what he gets convicted of, and we can come back around and talk about that. But let's assume, for argument's sake, he gets convicted of one or more felonies in the indictment, which are all the charges of felonies in the indictment. He would have a maximum sentence, as I understand the way New York groups statutory counts, of 4 years. And sentencing is normally about 3 months after a conviction. This is a nonviolent crime. He's a first offender in New York. He should not get a sentence of incarceration. But, you know, if you had asked me about Alan Weisselberg, who Bragg has prosecuted twice in the last 2 years, I would have told you he shouldn't get one either. And they have him in now for, I think, his second 5-month stint at Rikers. So there'll be a lot of pressure from the left, which certainly Bragg and the judge seem to be very keen to put him in prison for some period of time. I think Trump will be able to delay that. And my understanding of the way New York appellate law works is that once he appeals, the sentence can be, you know, any sentence imposed can be frozen until the appeal's done.
And the appeal would take well after the election.
Oh, yeah, be into next year for sure.
And honestly, Andy, this is a crazy question, but given it's a state charge, if he got elected president, how do state charges that have already, and I don't know what the precedent would be here because there's truly never been one. How right. do state criminal charges apply to a president of the United States if it was a conviction that occurred prior to his election?
As you say, Clay, the most important thing is that this has never happened before. So, you know, we're kind of spitballing here, but my view would be the Trump Justice Department would argue under the Supremacy Clause that any sentence ought to be postponed until after his term is over. That, in other words, the state can't execute a sentence that would prevent the federal government from doing its ordinary functions. And I kind of doubt that the state would fight that point. I think, you know, what they want here is to get Trump convicted. You know, look, I've been surprised by a lot of things, but I don't.
Clay, I know you. We got a million. I have to ask this. Is there any chance that they could? Because, Andy, what they've done in D.C. is, I call it warp speed, right? Or ludicrous speed. They've moved faster in the J6 trial than all my friends who are federal defense attorneys and federal prosecutors say, like, ever happens. Could they do the sentencing much sooner than 3 months after if he's found guilty?
They could try. I think his lawyers could, tie that up for a while. But I don't really see the big point of doing that, Buck, because, again, the appeal would mean they wouldn't be able to execute the sentence. And what they really, really want is to call him a convicted felon. I think how much he gets sentenced would be beside the point. And it could be scandalous if you put Trump in jail when Bragg is taking serious crimes and turning them into misdemeanors or not charging them at all. That's certainly not going to be helpful to Biden.
Andy, you heard about my the left is fired up at me for my jury tweets and comments that I've made on this show. Do you think that I will be arrested for jury tampering as Eric Swalwell has requested, as Joy Reid and CNN have requested?
Well, I would say no, Clay, but I'm not in New York today, and Alvin Bragg is the DA there, so he's got a different idea when you're on this side of the political aisle than would be the case in the normal case. In all seriousness, I think that, what you said is not something I would say, but it's not the crime of jury tampering. It's basically First Amendment free speech. I like the jury system. I'm one of these...
You still have some faith in it, Andy, which I appreciate. I'm not sure I do as much, especially seeing what we're seeing for some of these jurors, but, it's the best thing we got. Well, I get it.
Yeah, but, one of the things we talked about just probably a month ago was how ridiculous it was that the civil fraud trial was just a bench trial in front of Engeron.
Right.
And I think the only reason for making that point is because it's more fair to have a jury trial. And the implicit in that is that we think that, 12 sensible people are more likely to come to a correct result than one movement progressive. So, I'm still banking on that.
If there were a mistrial, let's say they couldn't get a verdict, there's no way they could get a case rescheduled, right? This would basically be Bragg falling on his face if in some way he doesn't get the felony conviction.
Yeah, I think number one, it'd be ridiculous if he wanted to try it again, because if they don't get him on this, it's going to be because it's a ridiculous case, which Bragg knew in the first place, and that's why he shut it down in 2022. If they don't get a conviction, it's going to be because of things like Michael Cohen, which doesn't get better over time. But the other thing, just to be totally practical about it, is Trump's dance card is going to be filled up with classified information proceedings down in the Florida case. And all of the pretrial stuff in the Washington case, the J6 case, is going to start up again once the Supreme Court rules on immunity. Because when they rule on immunity, assuming they rule against Trump, which I do, then the case is good. The jurisdiction over the case is going to go back to Judge Chutkan, and she's going to start having hearings and putting the pedal to the metal.
Well, the good news, it sounds like, Andy, neither Trump nor Clay are going to the big house and going to be cellmates, perhaps having to pick who gets top bunk anytime soon.
let's pray for that outcome. I agree with that.
Pray for it to be on a television show.
Can I just tell you one thing, Andy? When Clay was on, when the heat was turned up on Clay, you know what he said? I'd love to have Andy as my defender if I actually face
that.
Charges.
I would hire you. You might make some money off this before all is said and done, Andy.
I might come out of retirement for that case.
There we go. All right, everybody.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-G-O-L-D.
Look, I'm a two-way guy. Second Amendment, all about it. I appreciate the sport of shooting. I appreciate marksmanship. I appreciate the right to bear arms and to defend oneself. I also respect the craftsmanship of a well-made firearm at a phenomenal price. My first career out of college put me in parts of the world where, you know what, I had to have a firearm to protect myself. Years later, I keep myself trained and in shape with my firearms. Going to the gun range with my brothers on the weekend, that's a regular event for us. It's a great time to come together, and it helps keep our skills sharp. So if you're a firearms enthusiast like me, or you have one in your life, let me tell you about the industry's best-kept secret, Bear Creek Arsenal. They offer a wide range of premium calibers at a fraction of what the competition does. How does Bear Creek Arsenal do it? There's no middleman fees. That's how. I own one of their AR-15s. It is an incredible firearm. They know what they're doing. Discover Bear Creek Arsenal. Go online to bearcreekarsenal.com/buck. That's bearcreekarsenal.com/BUCK. Use my name, Buck, as your promo code for 10% off your first order. You're going to be amazed at the incredible quality of their firearms and the unbeatable price. BearCreekArsenal.com/Buck. Use the name Buck to get that 10% off your first order. No surprise, but do you know the number of abortions in states where it's deemed legal have increased since the overturning of Roe v. Wade? Sadly, unborn babies' lives are more at risk than ever, and that's where Preborn steps in. Preborn introduces moms to their precious babies through ultrasound. When a mom in crisis hears her baby's heartbeat and sees her or him on ultrasound, she is twice as likely to choose life. Preborn has rescued hundreds of thousands of babies' lives, and their network of clinics are located in the highest abortion states, standing strong for moms in crisis and the most vulnerable preborn babies. Five ultrasounds are just $140, helping to rescue five babies. Preborn relies on donations from us. To donate securely, use your cell phone and dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 saying baby, or go to preborn.com/buck. That's preborn.com/buck. You will never regret saving a baby's life. Visit preborn.com/buck, sponsored by Preborn.
We want to take you up to Capitol Hill for a moment here and the shenanigans involving Republican leadership in the House. Our friend Sean Davis joins us now. He is the co-founder and CEO of The Federalist. Great work being done at TheFederalist.com day in and day out. Sean, thanks for being here with us.
Thank you for having me.
So tell everybody what's going on, because there's this noise about Marjorie Taylor Greene wanting to replace Johnson. Wait, did Johnson do something? There's money going overseas, $90 billion. What has happened first before we dive too far into what the heck is next?
So let's back up. You know, Kevin McCarthy was deposed. They had a motion to vacate, removed him. They put in Mike Johnson, I think, late October, early November. Mike Johnson looked good from the outset, said all the right things, seemed to believe all the right things. But specifically, he made a number of claims and promises, foremost of which was he was not going to be moving money overseas for Ukraine or anyone else until our own border was secured. Those were his words. That was an ironclad, obvious, explicit commitment. And instead, we are in a position right now where he is attempting to force through the House under threat of a motion to vacate from Marjorie Taylor Greene, which is pending. a massive, massive overseas aid bill, something like $100 billion for Ukraine, a bunch of money in Israel, a bunch of money throughout throughout Asia, and not a dime for the border. And so what's happening is there is chaos and disunity and all kinds of rancor in the House right now surrounding this, and it is all because Mike Johnson, for reasons I simply do not understand, refuses to honor his pledge and his promise to fix and fund border security before throwing another $100 billion at a non-American problem overseas.
So where does this all go? I mean, effectively, are we just going to be waiting until November to see? And Sean, it's good to talk with you. Good to see you on Friday at the Marsha Blackburn event. Keep up the good work, as I said then. But where does this all go? Are we just waiting till November to see who's going to have control of the House? Until then, does it matter a great deal who the Speaker is?
Well, right now, Democrats control the House right now. If you look at which bills have passed over the last 6 months or so,
right,
I think all but one has been passed with a majority of Democrat votes, not with a majority of Republican votes. So right now, Democrats are controlling the House. They're calling the shots. Democrats are controlling the Senate. So the question we have is, can we get to November without completely shooting ourselves in the foot and give Republican voters a reason to actually vote for Republicans and take back our country? Because looking at it right now, you look what Republicans are doing in Washington. They have the majority. Now, albeit it's a slim one, they have the majority. They have the numbers. They can actually bring Biden and Schumer over in the Senate to heel. And yet they refuse to do so, again, for reasons I simply do not understand. So from my perspective, the challenge for November is getting there without actually losing the majority, which we've been steadily losing for the last 6 months. I think it's now down to two seats. But actually getting to November with a reason for Republican voters to vote for Republicans. Because I'll tell you right now, looking at what they're doing in Washington, I'm having a tough time coming up with a good reason to vote for Republicans in the House when all they do is pass Democrat bills.
Yeah, and Sean, I just have to wonder how many times we're supposed to go through this cycle. And look, it's some people in both Congress and in the media do this whole, oh, we need, if we have a new leader, everything will be fine. We talked about this when there was the push to get rid of McCarthy. It's like, okay, but is everything going to change? Is everything going to be fine? Or is this just now, Groundhog Day for us? I mean, what do you think the posture should be of Republicans in the House between now and the election so that we don't lose the majority, which is really about as thin as it could possibly be already?
I think the job of the House right now is to block nonsense from Joe Biden and to force Democrats to take votes they don't want to take so that we can maybe, hopefully, secure our border and fix the damage that's been done to the country. So stop the nonsense Biden is doing, force Democrats to take bad votes. Congressional Republican leadership is doing the opposite. They're like running away from trying to make Democrats take tough votes. Why on earth did they not make Democrats just vote up or down on Israel and secure U.S. border? That to me is the easiest thing in the world, and yet Republican leaders are doing everything they can to make it as difficult and pointless as possible. And honestly, I think the big problem is we have no leadership in Washington, D.C. We actually have no representation as normal voters, people who spend 6-7 months a year working just to fund the government. We have no one in Washington who seems to care about the things that are bothering us every day. Gas prices, how groceries are unaffordable, how roads and bridges are broken, all the things that we used to take for granted, which are just basic kind of daily necessities of life, are completely unaffordable. And what people in Washington, what Republican leaders are focusing on is not fixing those problems, but in sending more money to Ukraine. So I personally think we need a complete wholesale cleaning of the House of leadership. And we actually need to put people in there who are true leaders who care about the country more than they care about what the establishment
wants. Sean, how do they explain $95 billion in this House Appropriations Committee going overseas and not, as I understand it, and please correct me if I'm wrong, not a dollar going for the border? How can they make that calculation and not expect people to just say, what are you doing?
I don't think they care. I truly don't think they care.
Wow.
I don't know if it's something that's in the water. I mean, Mike Johnson, for example, this guy had a press conference where he straight up said, we're not doing this nonsense until we fix the border. And then he's gone and apparently forgotten he ever said that, because you'll notice none of his lieutenants or him ever actually try to explain their way around it. They just want you to forget they ever made the pledge. And I think people in Washington, I think they just don't care. I think they've drunk the Kool-Aid when it comes to Ukraine or Russia or whatever, and they have decided, again, for reasons that elude me, that a regional war between Russia and Ukraine that doesn't involve us is the literal most important thing happening in the world today. And if you're upset about gas prices or crime or your streets falling apart or the border being non-existent, it's only because you're a tool of Putin.
Sean, I don't know if you've got a strong take on this, but there's also talk that somehow this border bill could also include TikTok. And we know that the Senate moved aggressively on TikTok, and the House has to kind of figure out what to do. What do you think should happen with TikTok?
I think TikTok should be banned. I'm not really down with the whole divesting thing. It looks a little too much like the Intel surveillance state just wants to make sure its buddies at Facebook or Google have control of this massive surveillance tool so that then they can use it against their own people a lot more than they care about blocking China. So I think, you know, it's a tool of a communist government. Of course it shouldn't exist here any more than we would have been cool with importing a bunch of radios from the Soviet Union in 1960 that we knew they were listening in on during the midst of the Cold War. If somebody had proposed that in, you know, 1950 or 1960, they would have looked at you like you were a crazy person. Yeah, well, of course we should have Soviet radios with listening devices in their homes in the middle of the Cold War. So I think TikTok should be banned, but I also have pretty serious concerns about a government picking and choosing which websites are allowed to exist in this country. So while I think TikTok should be banned, that bill that they were pushing was an awful bill. It was poorly written. It was poorly reasoned. It had terrible downstream effects and unintended consequences. I think the bill was a disaster, but as far as allowing Chinese surveillance and spy tools to be in our pockets walking around with us, I think that's insanity.
No doubt. Sean, look forward to seeing you again sometime soon in the great state of Tennessee. Keep up the good work and appreciate you being flexible today.
Y'all are crushing it. Keep it up. Thank you for having me on.
For sure. That's Sean Davis, CEO, founder of The Federalist. They do great work there, including our friend Molly Hemingway, who does fantastic articles for them as well. When you switch your cell phone service to Pure Talk, you're getting the best service for the least amount of money every month. In fact, $20 a month gets you unlimited talk, text, plenty of 5G data from Pure Talk. Same quality of service as AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile. Half the cost, though. Average size family will save almost $1,000 a year. No contracts or activation fees. They make it easy. When you switch to Pure Talk, you keep your phone and your phone number, and their customer service team is great. They're all here in the good old USA, eager to help. Make the switch today. Save an additional 50% off your first month. Choose a wireless company who shares our values and who creates American jobs. That's Pure Talk. My 15-year-old, well, sorry, he just turned 16. My 16-year-old has his own Pure Talk phone. I was texting with him a little bit earlier during the day. I use it to stay in touch with him. Soon, my 14-year-old will get his own cell phone. It'll be a Pure Talk phone. We use it to stay in touch with our family. You can do the same, and you can save a bundle in the process. Dial #250, say the keywords Clay and Buck. Make the switch today. That's #250, say the keywords Clay and Buck. Since 9/11, the Tunnel to the Towers Foundation has been committed to supporting our nation's first responders and veterans, heroes who put their lives on the line for our communities and our country, heroes like U.S. Army Major Jonathan Turnbull.
He sustained devastating injuries at the hands of an ISIS suicide bomber, the complete loss of his left eye, a puncture to his right eye, and he needed more than 20 surgeries and countless hours of rehabilitation. Tunnel to Towers paid off his mortgage and gave Major Turnbull a specially adapted smart home designed for his needs. He moves around his home more easily now. His home also gives him hope.
With help from people like you, the foundation supports families like the Turnbulls. Join Tunnel to Towers in supporting America's heroes, our nation's severely injured veterans and first responders, homeless veterans, Gold Star families, and the families of fallen first responders.
Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's T2T.org. 95 cents of every dollar goes directly to their programs.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.